Good morning to you, Mr. Dan Norris.
Good morning, Mons.
Where are you in the world?
I am seated, facing forward. I'm currently not moving, and I am in the Chicagoland area. Sunny morning in Chicago.
And how cold is it over there?
It is right about freezing, so a little bit above, I think, maybe 1 or 2 degrees Celsius.
Okay. What did you do before you joined Oracle?
What did I do before Oracle? Well, I started working with Oracle software at a consultancy who saw potential in turning me into an Oracle DBA, and I went through all of the DBA training classes and became an Oracle DBA type consultant for probably 15 years or so. And then through that, met a lot of people working at Oracle as well, and a lot of other people in the community, such as Måns Norgaard and many others. And so it was really bouncing from, not bouncing, I shouldn't say it that way, but I had a number of positions at various different consultancies, small and medium-sized, through my first 15 years or so of work life.
Okay. And when did you join Oracle?
I joined Oracle in 2009, in May of 2009.
Okay. All right. And worked with Exadata back then?
That's right. Yeah. So I started my career at Oracle in what was and is called the X team. And so our focus for that initial role was, my focus for the initial role was to help customers with their Exadata deployments. This was in the very, very early days of Exadata, in the HP V1 timeframe. So it was very early, and there was a lot of focus on supporting the first customers, especially, and continues to this day with a lot of customer facing support from a development organization.
And then something happened. You got a job offer.
Yep, I had a couple of different roles. This is I'm currently in my third role at Oracle. So the X team role for me lasted not terribly long, a couple of years, I think a year and a half maybe. And then I worked more directly in the MAA team, in the Maximum Availability Architecture group. And my role there was to focus on MAA initiatives for what we called platform integration, which is I think of it as a sort of jack of all trades group. We had responsibility for a lot of different breadth that crossed over all database, Exadata, as well as other database areas, and focused on hardware, networking, operating systems, and security being the last one. Security started off as a small thing, and then over the course of the next 6 or 7 years, working with that team, that security portion became much larger as the world became much more interested in security, and the rapid fire of security issues became more rampant. And then about 10 months ago or so, I transitioned into a new role, working in the database cloud services team on all things database cloud. And my focus here is on security and compliance for all of the database cloud offerings, including Autonomous Database.
Okay. Just as a personal note, I think you are very, very beautiful and very intelligent. What, in return, I'd like to ask you what you think of me and all other Danes.
All other Danes. Well, I haven't met very many of them. Well, perhaps I've met a lot of them, as I know there's not that many Danes in the world, really. It's a small country, but I've certainly enjoyed all the Danes I've met. I find your language rather harsh and sometimes entertaining, but it's always been fun. I very much enjoy the time I've spent in Denmark, although not enough, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, that was a good answer. Thank you. Dan, Norris, this whole autonomous thing, what is it? What is, why are they talking about autonomous data warehousing and autonomous transactions and stuff like that? What is autonomous in your mind?
So, first, the disclaimer, and that I'm not the developer for Autonomous Database. I have although I work in the Database Cloud Services organization, I characterize my knowledge of Autonomous Database, and to be honest, many of the Database Cloud Services, as probably much more from a layperson than you might think. So, of course, with my DBA background, that's where my mind goes quickly, is to the database administration types of activities. So with that frame in mind, my view of autonomous database is to automate and to use various different heuristics and machine learning types of techniques to support the database in a way that would be difficult to do, or would be more expensive to do perhaps with humans, as it's been done for 30 years with Oracle. So taking some of those, especially the routine tasks and even the more complex routine tasks, some of the performance analysis types of tasks and things, and making those happen in an automated fashion, or detecting and reacting to them appropriately using software, is what I view as the main focus for autonomous database in general.
Mm-hmm. And what's the status of it? Do you know, are many customers using it currently? Is it active, production, live, well oiled, what?
Sure. So the Autonomous Database service started as what we refer to as the serverless flavor. And that was launched last calendar year in 2018. And serverless implies that you are not on dedicated hardware, but instead you share not a specific database. So you would have your own pluggable database, or PDB, but you might have your PDB might be sharing some of the common database architecture in a multi-tenant database architecture. You might be sharing some of those pieces with other pluggable databases. And so that flavor debuted last year and is fully production. There's customers using that today and in a very production way for those things, that the workloads and things that make that a good fit for them. The dedicated flavor of autonomous database, as we call it, ATPD or ADB, autonomous database, D for dedicated. So all these letters get a little bit hard to say sometimes, but the dedicated flavor of autonomous was available only this summer. So about July, I think, June or July, was launched in 2019. So it doesn't have as much road behind it yet, but is certainly has a lot in common, of course, with the serverless except for the fact that the dedicated flavor, you, as it implies, you are on dedicated hardware that you aren't sharing with anyone else. So in that sense, it's very similar to Exadata Cloud Service, or ExaCS, where that is dedicated hardware that's dedicated to a specific customer, and you allocate a quarter rack or half rack or a full rack of equipment for your exclusive use, similar to what you would do for an on-premises engagement for those customers that are familiar with Exadata's sizing and on-premises offerings. It's like that. As far as the dedicated flavor, I believe that there are customers, certainly there are customers for the dedicated flavor. As some of you already may know, Larry introduced something called the free cloud offering. I don't remember exactly what the marketing term is, but there's a free level of service that we now offer with the database cloud, and it, included in that is access to the autonomous database service. And so there's certainly a lot of customers, I would say, kicking tires and checking things out using that offering as well. It has some limitations, of course, as you would expect for any free service. I can't spout off the limitations off the top of my head. As I think I implied, I work in development, not sales. So other than knowing that it exists, there's not a whole lot that I know about the free offering specifically. So I guess back to your question, I think there are production customers on both services, both dedicated and serverless, and a lot of customers doing a lot of testing and proof of concepts and just getting familiar with it using some of the free service offerings.
Cool. I've heard talk about both autonomous data warehouse and autonomous transaction processing. What is that?
For the dedicated service, I think what you'll see is that the common infrastructure for both of those is there is common infrastructure for both flavors of the dedicated service. The transaction processing and data warehousing, similar to any other Oracle deployment, for those familiar with doing standard Oracle installations and things, there's no difference in the software for sure. It's really comes down to the template or the database parameters and sizing and some of those choices that are made at the time of database creation so that you can have a better fit for the types of data that would be in a transaction processing system, let's say. You might optimize the memory allocations and some of the database structures in a different way than you would for a data warehouse. And so it's really the same definitions as traditional Oracle installations for those that are familiar with doing just standard installations and building a data warehouse database. As you know, Oracle is not like Teradata or other specialized databases that really focus on either data warehousing or transaction processing. The software is capable of both, but the database configuration may be different for one flavor or the other. And that's all I see as the difference between ADW and ATP.
Okay, cool. So obviously the DBA's traditional role will pretty much not be relevant with respect to taking care of parameters and tracing and tuning and things like that in autonomous databases. Is that a correct assumption?
I think that's true. Yeah, one of the from a more technical point of view, one of the key differences for the autonomous database service is that the interfaces you get access to with autonomous database are restricted. In that you DBAs are traditionally, I think, commonly would log into the database server itself and have maybe other tools there or have direct access to some of the logs and trace files and those sorts of things on the operating system where the database runs. That is not the case for autonomous database. And so some of those traditional duties that go along with all the collecting of diagnostics and logs and things are automated instead. And the interface for connecting to the database is the same through SQLNet or SQLNet tools, SQL Plus or other front-end tools as you wish. But the traditional types of exercises might be done differently. And as you mentioned, as you suspect, highly automated as well. So a lot of those things, if we're tuning different parameters and things, to what degree you can tune them, would be done through the cloud interface and cloud tooling instead of directly using editing tools for a config file, for example, or something like that.
So there will still be stuff for good old DBAs to do?
There will, for sure. The shift that I would expect to see, and from what I've gathered in talking with some of the folks that are more directly working with customers on some of these services, I think the expectation is that the database administrators who maybe are perhaps bogged down with some of the routine maintenance and operations of a database can instead focus those efforts, since the autonomous portion of the service should automate a lot of those routine tasks, even, like I said, some of the more complex routine tasks, some of the performance related tasks could potentially be handled in some way by an autonomous capability or feature. And so those DBAs that are spending a lot of time in those areas can now refocus their efforts on more strategic or more high level tasks and projects, and not have to bother themselves with a lot of the routine maintenance and care and feeding and patching and all those sorts of things that they might be spending a lot of time on today.
The pets versus cattle thing.
Yes, yes. I think that's a good analogy.
Okay, so what would your advice to Danish DBAs and to the rest of the population be? What should we do now?
For database administrators, I would say it's as I would expect all DBAs really should and would typically should be on a constant learning path of some kind. For those that maybe are less focused on learning new things, this is the time to dust off your study skills, I think, and bone up on what sorts of things can be done, what the differences are, sign up for the free service and experiment with the Autonomous Database just to learn the interfaces and what sorts of things can and can't be done by a typical DBA person, and think in a little bit bigger picture about what sorts of strategic activities you could focus your efforts on if you are no longer dealing with a lot of the day-to-day operation and care and feeding and maintenance.
And the rest of the population, what should we do? Any good advice for the Danes?
You should find a DBA and hug them because they'll make your life better.
Mr. Norris, I'm going to end the interview now, and thank you very much for taking time out. I know that you're on your way to Minneapolis, is that correct?
Yes, I will. Unfortunately, I'm sorry I couldn't be there live to speak with you, and also not even be online live to speak with you. At the time that I think you'll be hearing this, I will be instead presenting a user group session myself to a group of perhaps even Scandinavian descendants in Minneapolis and the areas around the Twin Cities in Minnesota. So I'll be probably trying to stay warm and thinking fondly of being in Copenhagen instead. So
thank you very much.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you. All right.